around according to your own impulses. Your actions affect the discipline of the entire assembly. No one can tell if this moment is not the end of this life. It would be truly regrettable to die while indulging in pleasures. You should always inform the director of the hall where you are going to be, day or night. This is strict rules in the monastery. Whatever reason you have when you go out, you have to go out with the Inno's permission. In this case, the director of the hall means Inno. Inno is a kind of, the minister of justice. Minister of justice. So if you do something wrong, you know, anyway, pick you up and go out, let you out. this is Inno's. So Inno's has to take a big responsibility for taking care of monastic regulations and also monks' the everyday life. So that's why, for every reason you have, when you go out anyway, you should get permission from him. So you should always inform chapter of the where you are going to be day or night. Do not pray around according to your own impulses. When I was at monastery, we had a big earthquake. Thousand people died. That is the day before. Memorial Day of Dogen's death was, I think, 28. I forgot the exact year, but maybe 1948 or 9. A friend of mine, anyway, went out to Fukui City. I don't know why, but anyway, he got the permission and he went to Fukui City. By train, I think it takes about one and a half hours in by train, very slow train. Now it's pretty good now, but those days train was very slow, and so he went. So earthquake broke out at almost 5, between 4 and 5. I forgot to start it. And then he thought in the city, Fukui City, he wanted to watch the movie at that day. So he finished the business, and then he went to the movie theater, stand up there, and he tried to, right before he tried to buy the ticket, he quit because he thought, well, tonight we would have our memorial service of Dogen's death. places to go home, go back to the age once. So he tried, he quit to Bud, and then he went, he left this theater. The couple broke away, but he still wanted to buy, to watch the movie, and then come back again and try to buy, but he again quit. And then fortunately anyway, he didn't watch the movie. And he left the city. And he was on the way to back to the Age Monastery. He was on the train. The earthquake happens. The train tunnel. And the railroad is complete, you know, very bumpy. A huge earthquake. Road cracked, and then the train complete tunnel, he complete, he was completely faint. Later, anyway, he came back to the Age Monastery. But, you know, that time in that earthquake, you know, people watch the movie in the theater, all died completely. Because in the theater, a movie theater, there is no pole in, you know, black hole, but no particular pole there. So if you have an earthquake, particularly that earthquake is showed as shaking the first, right and left like this, and then immediately like this. So that's a very dangerous earthquake. This earthquake is not so dangerous. First come this way, shake the whole earth like this, and then next like this. Then all house crushed. And then the fear completely crushed. All people think that. So he survived anyway. He survived. But he fainted on the way, but he survived. So I think that's why do not play around according to your. According to your own impulse, anyway. So Dogen Zenji said it with his life, anyway. why we have to get the permission from, you know, because there are two reasons. One reason is that your actions affect the discipline of the entire assembly. This is one reason. Because I told you before, practicing the monastery is going in smooth succession together, with the people together. So, whatever you do, your actions affect very naturally everyone. So, if you don't obey the regulation, then naturally your action affects the discipline of the entire assembly. This is one reason. Second reason is no one can tell if this moment is not to the end of this life. You should remember this one. My teacher always says, when I get out and go out, when I travel. My teacher said to me always, you should go difficult to say, let me say it like this. He said, you should clean your room, you should, put your things in, not exactly, but in order, neatly. Whenever you die, no problem. So you should, so as not to create this problem to the people anyway, because you might die when you go out. So maybe this, when you go out from this temple, this is maybe last to see you and to see your people. So that's why you should clean your room, you should put your clothes and books and whatever they are, anyway, put everything in neatly in order, and then bow for prostrate three times to the Buddha and to the teacher, say goodbye. In Japanese, itte maimasu, itte maimasu. Goodbye. In English, we say goodbye. So, three bow, and then we say goodbye. this is very important. This is, or priest attitude to everyday life. This is a practice of the impermanence every day. Wherever you may go, this is a life. So that's why that opportunity is very important. When you see like this is maybe last. Think of wedding day when you have a marriage and have the wedding service, and then maybe wedding marriage is a first trip, to learn what the human life and creating, planting into new life, of course, but maybe last. And all of that person, in San Francisco, the British woman and the British gentleman and the maid, by Tsukiroshi and I, and they went to a honeymoon. And on the freeway, was beaten up by a traffic accident. So I don't know what will happen. No one knows. So that is really improvement. Our life is just like a dewdrop. So that's why my teacher tells me that this is a great teaching for me. That is not the. It is not important to bow three times or to put everything in neat, after you leave your room. It is not important. Important is to practice impermanence, to realize impermanence through that practice. Okay? Behind the practice, there is very profound teaching you can taste, you can digest. So practice of impermanence is not to think or to discuss. It is not the meaning of being permanent. Either you have to do it quietly, whatever you think, you have to do it. So that's why Dogen then says, anyway, you should get the permission from and go out because this is last. So, that's why he says no one can tell if this moment is the end of this life. It will be truly regretful to die while indulging in pleasures. Of course. So, that's why, Hashimoto Roshi was a monastery. I learned a lot from him because I traveled with him many times, and his life was exactly practicing impermanence, just like this. So every moment is last end, and the last moment, and he always sitting straightly to his others. And he didn't talk so much, and when it is necessary, he talked, but he didn't talk so much, just to sit down. So he slept and just slept and sitting straight. I was very surprised. And so I tried to imitate him sitting, and I couldn't last for 30 minutes because it's too hard. In Zazen, you can do everyone sitting for 40 minutes, but in the train, everyone chatting and relaxed and. And then only you just sit like this. It's funny. People feel funny. But I tried to emulate, but I didn't last. It didn't last even for 30 minutes. So next moment, oh, forget it. That is. So, anyway, and also, he always carried three kinds of rope, miniature rope. He made a miniature rope, three kinds of miniature. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Very small, tiny. Five rakusu and seven jaw, okay, some nine jaw, nine jaw rope, and obviously tied with it. It's not kind of mysterious protector, it's not kind of mysterious deity to protect you, but his attitude behind this, his spirit was that he always living with the Buddha. Because when he was, when the Buddha was alive, he lived on three loaves and one bowl. That's it. So three bowls, one bowl. Three robes and one ball. But in Japan, we don't have, we don't wear the three robes always. So we go out on the lakusu, so five jaws. So he always carried that's why he make a small miniature robes, and three, five, seven, nine. Of raw and carrying it. That means he always living with the Buddha. He is living in the Buddha. Because no one can tell this moment is last or beginning. No. He really practices Buddha's teaching anyway. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions, anyway, you should get the permission. In the Tassar, maybe I told you at Tassar, one of the students went shopping to Monterey and disappeared. the villains came back. But anyway, the, before they left, you know, they got the permission from the director of the Kasal, and then they went shopping. But on the way, he didn't, one person didn't come back. And they, his partner didn't know where he went. So finally, we were very concerned about him. At midnight, all students they looked for him in mountains, and but we couldn't. Next day, he came back. And then we asked him, where were you? So he said, I stayed on the Monterey. And then, at that time, the Tatsugami Roshi was there, and Tatsugami Roshi asked him, you should apologize, everyone, this morning. So after breakfast, and he asked him to apologize, so walking around the Zendo, according to the monastic way, you know. And then he did it. But right after that, he hit it. And then he did it. You understand? He didn't understand this meaning. I think if you get the permission from the Inuits and then go out, that means a rule of regulation. You cannot, one reason is you, wherever you may go, you cannot live alone. So your action affects everyone, wherever you may go, because your action creates war. Anyway, if you become violent, whole world fights. Your violent action in any way affects everyone. So you cannot live alone wherever you may go. This is one reason. The second reason is if no one knows that this moment is last or beginning. So all you have to do is anyway do your best. Too late. Helping others, anyway, helping others, not so as not to bother people anyway. Because others also are in the same situation. That's why we have to follow, obey this regulation. But you should understand the spirit of regulation. In other words, behind the regulation. What does it mean? Why we have to obey? That's why Dogen didn't mention that. This is very kind suggestion for us. So monastic rule is not the order given to a boss, given to an Inu or anybody. You should understand how human life, how human world are going. To understand. In order to live in peace and harmony in the permanence of the human world, human beings, we have to follow the regulation to the minimum. Then you can live in peace and harmony. This is a monastic rule. If you don't understand, you don't want to obey regulation. Next, do not be concerned with the faults of other persons. Do not see others' faults with hateful mind. There is an old saying that if you stop seeing others' faults, then naturally you are respected by seniors and are revered by genius. Do not imitate others' faults. Just cultivate virtue. Buddha prohibited wrongdoing but didn't say to hate wrongdoing. This is also considered the again and again in your life. Monastic life is not monastic. The monastic life is the monastic rule is not the regulation for only monks. Anyway, for it's really adapted to any people, everyone. So do not be concerned with the faults of other person. That means do not get into. Participate. Don't be involved in. For instance, I did give suggestions very often in the nevertheless, still you repeat the same thing. And, blow your nose, yawning, or sigh, or coughing without so much noise. Reduce the sound, make the sound of blowing noise and small, smaller, anyway. But still you do. Just imagine, if I ask you, blow your nose better, maybe your mind will say, well, everything does. But it is not right, you know pretty well. Even though you feel pleasure and satisfied, you're satisfactory, and, but it's not right, exactly. So anyway, two category there. So all you have to do is, anyway, what kind of glasses do you want to drop your juice? That is not matter of discussion. You have to make a choice, you have to make a decision and do it. Do something with a sincere heart, anyway. With all sentient beings, that is way to manifest yourself as a Buddha. Behave as a Buddha, anyway. So, so very naturally, the not kill or not serve, anyway, the speaking of others and etc., the 16 precepts there. But this is not the moral regulations or anyway, you should handle the precept with really deep compassion. Compassion is not to deal a precept with hatred or love. And you should deal with all sentient beings with equanimity, with compassion, in the same attitude, stand up. So you become magnanimous. And then you deal with evil as it is, you deal with the good as it is, because your discriminating mind still operates, so you cannot ignore, so you judge, you discriminate between good and evil. But don't handle evil with hatred itself. Hatred any emotion put aside anywhere. You have to stand up anywhere with white paper, anywhere white, complete white nature of spirit. Just take a white paper. And then you should understand what the difference, because differentiation is in the human world. So handle the evils as it is. That is your attitude. Your attitude, your actions, what you have to do from moment to moment. If you miss, that's why this moment, what kind of, how do you deal with your life? Because moment is moment, life in the moment, from moment to moment is going in the time process. So your discriminating mind is working quickly. So you have to, anyway, discriminate between good and evil. Then all you have to do is, without creating hatred, you may deal with the evil as it is. That means, do you want to drop your doom on evil, crap? Then immediately, your life is an evil world. This is really compassion. The next moment, still, you didn't have a chance to drop your due onto what kind of grass? Buddha, Bodhisattva. This moment, you can become Buddha, but next moment, you can be evil, hell. Anyway, so from moment to moment, anyway, you should do it. So don't miss a chance. Miss the chance. Without missing a chance, as best as you can, we try to get the chance to manifest yourself as a Buddha. That's all you can do. Before you create a passion of a hatred or love, etc. This is a precept, Buddhist precept. I see sometimes a person who very strict handling the evil against the opposite to good. So completely hate the evils. Have you ever seen such a person in your life? Evil is completely evil. Very strict, very rigid. No space to listen to. Voice of evil. No way. It's fine, but remember, if you eat like this, you will get, sooner or later, revenge. Do you understand? Revenge. Because you are too rigid. You know, if you bump the wall, if you bump your body against the wall with 10%, 100% power, you know, what kind of reaction comes back? It's very clear, don't you? But if you don't bump, what kind of reaction comes? Nothing. It is not so good, too. So how you bump, you know? How you bump your body against the wall. 100% power, it seems to be clear and wonderful and brave. I don't think so. Who hurts? You hurt. So, I think that's why very naturally people don't accept you. Accept such a person, and if people don't accept such a person, even the temporary it works, but it doesn't last for long. So very naturally, he himself will be suffocated to death, right in the middle of hatred of evil. Do you understand? So, Dogen Zen, that's why Dogen Zen says like this, right? So, do not see others fall with a hateful mind. No, so, original text says, do not see, original text says, if you stop seeing others' faults, merits and the opposite to the fault,
rich.
If you stop seeing your virtue, I have to say, there is an old saying that if you stop seeing others' faults and your virtue, then naturally you are respected by sinners and are revered by universe. I mean, you can be respected by everyone. This is also very important for us too. Maybe a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, in order to emphasize strongly the meaning of Skantaga, I gave an example, one of my friends talking between the differences between my way and his way. Remember? Remember that talking is not a good way. No, don't repeat in that way. Don't imitate me. I really reflect upon myself. It's not a good way. And whatever reason I say like that, it's not right. Even though I try to explain the Buddha's teaching with a really humble and modest spirit and comparing with others, and I don't think humbleness is always humble. So you remember, human mind is very delicate, Do you understand? I reflect upon myself right after talking, and then, my goodness, so I have to confess before you follow me, I apologize. So don't repeat it now, alright? Mind is really working very delicately and sneakily. Apparently, it seems to be pretty good, How do I give you free humble and free? No way. It's really sneaky and so remember, I can tell you, even though you express yourself in humble way or modest way, that is called arrogance of humbleness. Okay, remember, it's too much arrogance there. Alright? That's the Buddhism says. But totally, there are seven kinds of arrogance. So arrogance is not only the arrogance, seven kinds, including the humble, including you know, the wise men and whatever you say. Mm-hmm. That really humble. If you emphasize so much poor, you know, and then the poor is pretty good. I am poor, you know. So that is pretty nice. But you think it's really arrogant. So be humble, if you express yourself in a humble way, it's very nice. But you should remember, still there is arrogance to the humbleness. So I apologize. So don't repeat in that way. So that's why this, there is an old saying that if you stop seeing others poor and your virtue, then naturally you are repeated by. That's why Buddhist monks and lived in the Mahat of the mountains. Do you remember? So in the information saying, you know, the next, do not imitate other faults, just cultivate virtue. So cultivate virtue is do your best to take care of life so as not to miss the chance to manifest Buddha, okay? Complete beyond humble or arrogance. Anyway, just quietly you should do it. It's not short. It's not short. Very quietly, all you have to do is just to follow the Buddha's way. And that is cultivate virtue. So that is pretty nice. Because even though you are successful in doing the shimpada, this fishing or whatever, no one gives the applause, no one gives a prize to sweet things, and only at that moment you can feel good, but the next moment, you know, you cannot. You have to throw away sweet candy. It's called enlightenment. So, from nobody, completely from others, from yourself, either. No applause. No sweet candy kind. That's wonderful. Anyway, that. But nevertheless, we have to continue to do this. That's why. In Sandoka, no, not Sandoka, Hokyo Zammai, Dual Mirror Samadhi, the last paragraph, it says, the like a fool, like an idiot, you achieve, just a continuation of, just like a fool and the idiot, because no reward, no prize. No prize, with no prize, no reward, no one wants to do anything. But the other thing is, you have to, is the practice you have to do like that. So that's why you must be naturally fool and idiot. You cannot handle yourself or Zazen in common sense, no. So you just continue to do it. So, very naturally, it is a way to cultivate virtue. Okay. And then the last sentence I told you already, Buddha prohibited to wrongdoing, but do not say to hate wrongdoing. Again and again, you have to remember this. In your, around your life, there are lots of wrongdoings, but don't do wrongdoing with hate, hatred. Deal with compassion. Deal with wrongdoing, mistake, or evil, whatever. You have walked in the end together. Right? Peace and harmony.